In your book, you talk about the scale of when to know when it's too late to help our planet from the worst effects of climate change. So tell us more about that.
Yeah, so, you know, we are seeing dangerous climate change impacts already. There's no denying that. If you live in Texas, if you live in Puerto Rico, California, Colorado, the, you know, Iowa, which experienced this massive derecho storm last year that destroyed much of their crops early in the season. The point is, no matter where you are seeing impacts of climate change play out in real time. You are seeing dangerous climate change. So at this point, there's no way to avoid the danger entirely, but we can limit it. If we act now, if we act dramatically over the next decade and we bring global carbon emissions down by a factor of two, we can stabilize the warming of the planet and we can avert the worst impacts of climate change. So there is clearly great urgency. We need to act now, but there is agency as well. There is still time to act. And that's one of the primary messages of the New Climate War, of my book, is the fact that there is both urgency and agency, very importantly.
You talk about the fossil fuel companies and a 30-year campaign to deflect blame and responsibility and delay action. You also bring up lobbyists, other corporations. So explain how all of this works.
Yeah, so you might call that the old climate war. The way that fossil fuel companies and front groups and talking heads who worked for them to promote their agenda, their assault on the basic scientific evidence, on the science and the scientists. It was, you know, it's an assault that's been going on for several decades. It mirrors what happened in the tobacco industry, where the tobacco industry went after the scientists who were demonstrating what the tobacco's own scientists internally had already come to understand, that tobacco was causing adverse health effects, lung cancer. But they instead engaged in a multi-million dollar campaign to attack the scientific evidence and to prevent regulation of their project. Well, the fossil fuel industry borrowed that playbook, and for decades they worked to discredit the scientific evidence. But here's the thing. It's not possible to do that anymore. People can see the impacts of climate change playing out with their own two eyes. If you live in the Bay Area, of course, the massive wildfires that we saw last year, a result of unprecedented heat and drought, the impacts of climate change are playing out now in a very profound way, and people get that. So the forces of inaction, the fossil fuel interests, and those who promote their agenda, I call them the inactivists in the book, they know they can't deny that climate change is happening anymore. So they've turned to this insidious array of alternative tactics to keep us from moving on, because that's all they care about. They don't care about why we remain addicted to fossil fuels. They just want us to remain addicted to those fossil fuels. And if they can't discredit the evidence, they will try to convince us that that we don't need regulations. It's just a matter of individual behavior. We call that the deflection campaign, deflecting attention away from the needed systemic changes, governmental policies to price carbon, to incentivize renewables, and instead make it about you and me, that we just have to be, you know, more responsible in our individual lives with our, what we eat, how we travel, et cetera. Sure, we should try to reduce our carbon footprint as individuals, but that alone isn't going to solve the problem. And polluting interests would like us to think that that's all it's about. And I'll just make one more point here. It was British Petroleum that gave us the notion of an individual carbon footprint and a carbon footprint calculator nearly 20 years ago, because British Petroleum and other fossil fuel companies want us focused on our carbon footprint, not theirs.
Some say that moving to clean energy will cost jobs. Others say it will create new jobs. What do we know?
Yeah, it's the latter. That is part of this disinformation campaign that I talked about. The tactics today involve, for example, again, not denying climate change is real, but arguing that renewable energy isn't going to solve the problem, that we should just allow technological innovation to somehow sort this out on its own, and in the meanwhile, not provide incentives for energy sources that can actually solve this problem, like renewable energy. One of the canards that you encounter, one of the arguments you encounter to promote that narrative, is this idea that this false sort of choice between you know, environmental preservation and jobs as if there's a trade-off, when in fact it's just the opposite. If we fail to act on climate change, given the huge costs that we are already bearing from the devastating impacts of extreme weather events exacerbated by climate change, if we fail to act, if we fail to decarbonize our economy, the cost of that inaction is far greater than any cost of action. And when it comes to jobs, there are far more jobs available in installation of new renewable energy than there are in the fossil fuel industry, which is now largely automated. We heard a lot, we heard claims, for example, when Biden announced that Joe Biden, incoming president, announced that he was going to be stopping the project that Trump had greenlighted, the Keystone XL pipeline, which would deliver huge amounts of carbon-intensive, dirty petroleum to the market. The forces of inaction, the fossil fuel interests, and the conservative media echo chamber that promotes their messaging claimed that this was going to be devastating to Americans. It would cost jobs. Well, there are only about 100 permanent jobs that would result from Keystone XL pipeline, and there are thousands in renewable energy.